How many of you think we should have Brother Joel come back?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Brother Walter, you are always welcome here. In fact, I want you to come up here. Both you, Brother Joel, come up here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Brother Joel.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Truly.
Thank you, Lord. Everybody stretch your hands up here. Thank you, Lord. When covenants are put together, it's always for a purpose. When there is divine anointments all time, divine connections all time. And when we go into a place, we can tell right away if it's a divine connection. This is a divine connection. And it's to do the work of the kingdom. It's to further the thing, the word in Canada, but not only Canada, all over the world. So when you see this, it brings brothers together, even closer than families. And every one of you know what it's like in your family. But this is even a closer relationship. It's a covenant relationship. Amen. Amen.
Let's give thanks to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
These brothers are leaving directly after after the meeting so that they can get to Twin Lakes Camp, where they have a meeting this evening. And so we just send you brothers off.
Amen. Amen.
And it's just been a great privilege for us to have you.
It's been a privilege to be here with you. Amen.
Let's welcome Brother George.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're only going to have the book and tape table open for 15 minutes after the service. So if you want to get something, get it. If you want to make a check out, it's Jerry Savelle Ministries Canada. None of our finances goes to the USA. Stays here in Canada to do what God wants us to do here. All offerings, everything, it stays here. And the reason is because we know that God's got a mighty work to do in Canada. And we do a lot of outreaches. But I brought up a few of Brother Jerry's items. 2015, he gave us a word. He gives us a word every October. Done this for years and years. And then what we do is we see what our part is on God on what to minister on that word. Well, his word for that particular time was visitation, manifestations, and demonstrations. This will never end. This 2015, it doesn't end in 2015. It goes on and on. So if you don't know what we're talking about visitations, that's when you hear from God. That's when he visits your house.
Yeah.
And then manifestations is when you receive what he wants to do. And then the demonstration is the fruit of all of it. Amen. So if you don't actually know anything about that, you need to get this set. Amen. And this set goes to this little lady right here.
Oh.
Amen. Then he just gave us the word last October for 2016 about the great breaking loose. What do you need to be broke loose? We sung the songs, yeah. Break every chain, break every chain. Whatever you're breaking loose you need, it's available. If it's finances, because hey, it's spirit, soul, and body. If you need spiritual breaking free, you'll get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You need finances, you'll get it. Health, you'll get it. But it's just, this is a series that he put together. That's a series he put together that you can actually listen to them and see exactly what all it takes and covers. Amen?
Yeah, yeah,
that tape set goes to this young man right here.
Thank you.
There he is. And then Brother Jerry has put out a book, Why God Wants You to Prosper. If there's one thing we have to convince people about is that prosperity is real.
Yeah.
And that God wants you to have the best. Because they've heard for years that God wants you poor. Amen. And that's not true. So this book here is Why God Wants You to Prosper. So if you have that question, this is what he wants. This is what he wants you to know, that it is his will that we prosper and we be in good health as our soul prospers. Amen. And so before I give this book away, everywhere I go as a representative of God, but under Dr. Jerry Savelle, I bestow blessings upon every individual in this church, upon all your families, because he is known as the he's known as the man that presents favor everywhere he goes. And he has favor everywhere he goes. We walk in favor. We walk in the prosperity. So I want to pray over you right now before we minister. And I just want you to receive it. So I want you to get your hands out like you're going to receive it. Amen. Father, I pray the blessings of God, spirit, soul, and body upon every individual in here. I call them blessed. I see them blessed. And I say, blessed is this church. Blessed is these people. Blessed is their families. Blessed is their businesses. Blessed is their spiritual life. Blessed is their physical life. I call them blessed, 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 blessed. In Jesus' name, you are blessed. Whatever that is, you need that blessing, you grab hold of it right now because it's yours. There's a strong anointing right now. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. The young lady that came up just a while ago and gave a testimony, where are you at? Right there? That's your book. Amen. If you're not on our mailing list, this goes to Canada, not America. If you're not on our mailing list, fill out a mailing list card at the back. Give it to the back. This will go to London, Ontario. That's where our office is. That's where my staff's at. And if anything's coming up that we're doing, they'll let you know. It'll be sent. They'll send you a flyer. They won't ask you for money, but I'll guarantee you they'll send you something that you can read that'll lift you up and build you up. Amen. So if you need a mailing list card, you can get it at the back there. Back to the basic Bible principles for overcomers. This one is for two special people. Amen. Where's the young man played the bass today? Come on up. And you got a real special. I signed this one. I normally don't sign it. Amen. Now the other one is for a special lady too, and I don't know if she's here today. It's my sister that got drunk in the spirit yesterday. Is she here today? Huh? That's okay. If she's not, I'm going to give it to Linda, and Miss Linda will get it to her. She got so drunk in the spirit, I got tickled because I arrested drunks for years. And I mean, I can spot them, but there's a different spirit when they have new wine they're drunk on and the booze, okay? And when I was sitting there this morning, the Lord, he didn't tell me if she was here or not. He just said, that's to go to her. So you get it to her, okay? Yep. Hallelujah. You ready for the word?
Yes.
Amen. We've been building, ever since we got here, we've been building on hearing God. We've been building on letting him out. And I love when pastor started saying, letting him out. We're letting him out in here right now. But it doesn't have to stop in here. When you leave this building, you let him out all over the world. Where is your world? You know, my world is all over the world. But I started off in Henrietta, Oklahoma, a little town, a banker. I started letting him out then. When I remember a man walks into our bank, he comes up to the teller cage. I was over all the tellers that time. I was a VP over all the tellers. And I remember that man walks up and he drops right in the floor. And my pastor had been teaching us to lay hands on the sick, to pray in the Spirit. But I got an opportunity now to let Jesus out. I can keep him in and just say, oh, I hope he's okay. Or I can do what God's telling me to do. And I had never done this in a bank where I worked. I had been a witness there, but I had never told him I speak in tongues. I'd never told him I lay hands on the sick. But this man's laying there, and I can see his life draining out of his body. And so I ran over, I got my hand on his heart, put my hand right on his heart, and I said, I command you to live and not die in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the bank that I work with and all the people are watching. And then the Lord said, now pray for him in the Holy Ghost and you do it loud. I didn't really want to do that, but I did. Why? His life depended on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I want to be obedient. I want to let Jesus out.
Yeah.
So I started praying in the Holy Spirit. Everybody gave me lots of room. Lots of room. I had no problem. No problem. Lots of room. And I remember when the medics came in, They came up, they got to check in his vitals and everything. They said, he won't even make it to the hospital. And I said, that's a lie of the devil. You shut up. The guy shut up really quick. Amen. I said, because he will be totally healed and he'll be in this bank in 3 days. And that was it. And I thought, where did that come from? Letting Jesus out. Yeah, yeah. See, I'm going to tell you what. You let Jesus out. He's real bold.
Yeah, yeah.
When he went in and overturned those tables, he didn't think a second thought about it. He overturned those tables and he did it in a kind of a violent but love way. Why? Because he knew what his Father was saying. When you know what the Word says and you let Jesus out, it's not you speaking, it's him speaking through you, and he has to perform the miracle. Yeah. And in 3 days, that man walked in and he said, Mister, I don't know who you are, but you saved my life. And I said, no, sir, I did not. Jesus saved your life.
Praise Jesus.
The witness came forth. But you got to let him out. Wherever you're at, it doesn't matter if you're in that grocery store and you pay for that lady's groceries. It doesn't matter if you're in that bank and he falls right before you and you lay your hands on him. You got to let him out because there could be nobody else that will heed the call. I always think, Lord, what if I didn't do something you told me to? Thank you, Lord. We never know where it's going to go when he asked us to do something and how far it will go. You never know when that one man you walk up and you shake his hand and say, thank you for serving in the military for me. Amen. I didn't serve in the military, but you did. And I want to bless you to get you home. And you give him maybe a $50 bill. And then you go into Bob Tilton's church. And right there on the head usher is that young man that you blessed. And he's now ministering to all these people. And you had a part of it. You never know who you're ministering to. But if you'll let him out, he knows who you're ministering to. Amen. There's people in here right now. God's going to use you mightily. I can already tell you that. But you have to allow him to. Amen. I want to take you to the Word of God, and I want to share something that sometimes we don't realize how God is using us and what He's going to do. There are times we really don't know how big it might get. Amen. I'll take, for instance, the Bible school. We never knew how big the Bible school would get until we just started with about 22 students. We never knew how the e-book Bible school over in Africa would grow to where we can't even, we don't hardly have enough e-books to give to all the ministers that want to take the courses. So we have to believe in funds constantly for that because we did not have any idea how big it was going to grow. See, God has a standard. We have a standard. Sometimes we can't comprehend His standard. Amen? Well, I want you to go to the scriptures. I want to share this with you and I want you to look at this. I want you to go to John. John the 6th chapter. We're going to start in the 5th verse. I want you to put yourself right in this. In other words, this could happen today. Okay? I've seen this happen in Africa. Okay? I've not really seen it happen in the United States, but we've never done some projects like we've done in Africa. Okay? But let's start out in about the 5th verse, and I want you just to listen. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, one of his people, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, there's no talking about a number yet. Okay? But Philip's there. God's there. They see the crowd. So they know how many people's there. And so listen to what he says. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. How did Jesus know what he was going to do? He says, I do nothing that the Father hasn't told me to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do before it ever was done. But he says, where's the food? Where's the food? Come on, stay with me. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread, but it's not sufficient for them. That every one of them may take a little, a little, a little. Everybody say a little.
A little.
Philip's thinking a little. God always thinks a lot.
Amen.
Amen. Philip thinks a little. God always thinks a lot. Amen? Because our natural mind sometimes thinks little when God's thinking big. Amen? Now you stay right here. When I went to Africa, I met a man over there. His name was Angus Buckham. Faith Like Potatoes is the movie they made. Anybody seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Faith Like Potatoes. Everybody around him told him, God told him to plant potatoes. Everybody around him in all the area said, potatoes will not grow here. You'll lose all your money. But he listened to God. And he planted potatoes. And he had the biggest harvests of any crop in that whole region. And it wasn't only it was just the first of many crops. Why? Because he chose to follow God and what God says. People, we're going to see some tremendous things in Canada, America, all over the world, because people will stand up and say, I'll follow you, God, even though the professionals say it's not going to work. Come on, stay with me.
Yeah.
He listened to God. I had a young man that used to come into my gun shop, never bought a thing. I didn't care. I just enjoyed talking to him, Christian. And we had talked God. He'd come into the gun shop, and he said one time, he said, Brother Joe, he said, I'm going to buy an oil well. I said, you are? He said, yeah, it's an oil well that's already been produced, and it's not really yielding very much. But he said, I'm going to buy it, start working it, and then I want a few more oil wells and everything. He said, would you agree with me? So I got his hands and we agreed. I said, Lord, I don't know where this is going, but you're leading him. And we know that you don't have any little ideas at all. So take this, what he's starting out with little, and make it great. And that was the prayer in Jesus' name. We both agreed. Well, he started working this, and he worked it about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Made a little bit of money on it. So he decides to drill another well, but he's going to drill one this time. Not buy one already drilled. He's going to drill one. And he goes into a location, and he come back to my shop again, and he said, Brother Joe, he said, I'm going to drill a well, and I know where I'm supposed to drill it, but everybody tells me there's no well there. I said, well, I'm going to ask you one question. What's God telling you? He said, God tell me they're all there. I said, then I wouldn't worry about it. Drill. So he drills $10,000 at a time. We're going to talk money now, okay? $10,000, he's in the ground. No oil. No signs of oil. He comes back. He said, I've already went $10,000 down. He said, what do I do? I said, hold it. We're not wavering here. You know, I can talk that way because it's his money. Okay? No. Hold, I got to do what God says. I said, did God tell you there's oil there? Yes. Drill. It's easy. Another $10,000. $20,000 down now. No oil. No signs of oil. Amen. $30,000. No oil. No signs of oil. He keeps coming back in because he's got to be built up. He's getting to try to waver. A little bit of doubt. And so what we're doing, we're staying together. Now it's real easy for me because I'm not out a penny. Amen? How many know? I'm not out a penny. But I know if God told him, it's going to produce. Okay? So, 40,000 we're on now. 40,000. All of a sudden, he hits a gusher. I'm talking a gusher. Now I want to tell you a little bit about shaking. Amen. And that's what's happening right now in the body of Christ. When an oil well set up and they start drilling, they got the tanks and they got the rods coming down and they're all up in the towers and they're all around it. And if that thing starts shaking, you'll hear them blow a horn and you'll hear them say, get off the dike, get off the dike. And that thing will start shaking. And pretty soon it's shaking uncontrollably. Pretty soon it shoots the pipe up and everything. And then it's just a steady flood of oil just as high as you can go. That's what we're getting ready to see in the Spirit. That shaking's going on right now. And you cannot control that oil until you recap it and get it ready. Amen? Well, that's what's getting ready to happen. Well, he didn't just hit one oil well. He hit 27 all around him.
Praise God.
But the professional said, no oil there. But God said, there's oil there. He comes into my gun shop one time after that. He's driving a limited Corvette. And he said, I want to buy some guns. And I said, I'll sell you some guns. And I mean, he didn't buy a little amount. See, all that time we spent together ministering to each other, it actually ended up profiting both of us. But see, I had to get in agreement with him. Or he could have come back and I could have said, oh, you're already down 10,000. Quit.
Yeah.
No, you got to go back to what God say. You don't look at any part of what's taking place unless God was tell him, you quit, then quit.
Yeah.
Amen? Let's go on. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread, but it's not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Mr. Peter knew how to get in touch with the Holy Ghost, but didn't know if it was the Holy Ghost or not, half the time. But if you look, he was the one it talks about hearing the Holy Ghost 3 or 4 times. Jesus said, on that rock, I'm going to build my church. So Peter is getting ready to kick in on something that God wants to do, but he has no idea really what it is. But listen. That wasn't Philip that said it. It was Peter. Look at what Peter says. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Now I want to stop right there. Okay? I love it the way God orchestrates miracles. I like it the way God puts stuff together in normal people. Because that mama picked up, I got to make my kid a lunch. It started out with the mama in the home. But how did she know? Well, I want my son to have a lunch. She had no idea. Come on, stay with me, people. She had no idea how God was going to create a miracle. All she did was, I want to make my child a lunch. Pretty good size lunch. Okay? Kid must have been a big eater. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they? Now, Peter heard. He heard what God was going to use. And then he says, but what are they among so many? What did he do? He got his eyes on the circumstance and not on what God was getting ready to do. Come on, I'm preaching good now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Preaching good now. Amen. Now look. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and that's not marijuana, that's grass. Okay. I had a guy tell me, see, they had marijuana right there. No, that is grass, okay? In the place, so that men sat down in numbers about 5,000. The kid's got a lunch. Mama makes the kid a lunch. She's part of the miracle. See, you don't. She's part of the miracle. She had no idea this was going to happen, but she's part of the miracle. Come on. Let's go on. Then Jesus took the loaves. So the little boy now is the next part of the miracle. He gives Jesus his lunch. Now if he was a pretty hefty boy and hungry, he might have had to reason his mind a little, but he gave the master what he had. Now I'm getting down to the point now. Are you giving the master what you have? Are you giving him what you have for him to do a miracle? Because that's what this little boy did. Starts off with the mama. Mama fixes the lunch. The little boy gives it to the Lord. The little boy has no idea yet what's going to happen. But he knows that's the master and he gives the master what he has. I'm going to tell you people, I think if we just give him what we have, our talent, whatever our talent is, and you know what? Not everybody, that's why the body of Christ is the body of Christ, because we're different. But we have one common denominator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But what talent do you have that could create a miracle that goes off in Canada that everybody hears about? It doesn't say this little boy's name, but he's been in the Bible. Everybody knows about this little boy. And everybody should know about his mama.
Yeah.
Don't know names because they were ordinary. Come on.
Yeah.
Ordinary. Now we're super. We're supernatural. But they're ordinary people.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Look what it says. Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks. The number one thing you do with any talents you have or any business deal you have, you already give thanks to the Lord that he is going to prosper it and he will make it into a good thing and it will bear witness. That's the first thing he did. Jesus did one thing. He said, Lord, bless this food. Amen. Now let's look what it did. He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Okay. When they were all filled, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up. Gather up. Philip said, we don't have but 200 pennyworths. We can only give everybody a little. God says we can get them filled up and get more.
Yeah.
Two different ideas there. The man idea is we can only get a little. God's idea is we can have all we want. John 10:10, the abundant life. Above and beyond what we can even imagine. Now look what it says. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments of the remains, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together into 12 baskets. I can't prove this, but I think they give the little boy the baskets. And I think he took them back home to his mama. After 5,000, that's just the men we know of. More than that, 8. They took 12 baskets. I think they give it to the little boy and the little boy took it back home. What am I saying? Because if you give, what happens? God gives back to you. Amen. Look in that story. Now listen. Let's go a little farther. Listen. Therefore they gathered them together, 12 baskets of fragments and 12 barley loaves, and the remains over and above to them that had eaten. Everybody ate. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, they seen the miracle. They could not denote God was not in their midst. But it started out with a lady on a lunch and a little boy giving his lunch. So that means he'll do the same thing with us.
Praise Jesus.
It might not be totally like that. I remember the first time we went to Africa, and Pastor, when you was talking about the little lady with the two pence, we never take an offering up when we feed people out in the bush. Never take an offering up. That's just not something we do. And so we were out in the bush, and Pastor Justin was with me, our pastor of our church. Brother Jerry's the founding pastor, but Brother Justin is our pastor. And Justin was preaching the Word of God. And when he was preaching the Word of God, I was sitting over here, Joyce and myself, and Justin's preaching, and a lady comes up, falls on the ground, starts slivering like a snake. Okay? Demon possessed totally. Okay? And so I didn't want to interrupt Justin's preaching, so I just went down there, got right in the middle and cast the devil out, commanded it to leave, and it left. Well, then when that happened, they started bringing the devils up. And I mean, we're having a deliverance meeting, but Justin's still preaching. Amen? Well, there's an old elder sitting over here. And that old elder, he's watching me, and I'm right down on the ground, casting those devils out, getting them set free. And I heard him say, he said, that man's not afraid of demons. He don't care if he gets his suit dirty. Now I could hear him over here, old elder of the church. And so after the meeting, we're getting ready to feed these people now because we preached to them. Now it's time to feed them. And that man got up and he said, we're going to take an offering for these men and women of God that's brought our food. I never had that ever done. I never had anybody want to do it. And so I wasn't going to stop him. But I knew that's not why we came, was for those finances. We came to spread the Word of God and meet the needs of people. That's what we were there for. So he brought it up. And the first little lady that stood up, the Lord said, Joe, I want to show you the one with the mite. But he said, I'm going to tell you something when she comes up. She's hobbling up, older lady, two little coins. I'm talking little. In U.S. dollars, It would be worth not even a penny. Two little pieces. Right up, she drops them in and raises her hand. The Lord said, that seed she just sent in will multiply this food you brought, because you don't have enough food for all the villages that's getting ready to come in. And we had one group of people there, but the villages and the donkeys and the wagons and everything was coming from all around. And he said, it's because of her 2 pence that she put in, and I'm going to feed them all, and she will never do without. First time I'd ever seen that. Amen. So they took it all. Everybody brought up, put something in. And the old man took it back over here. Then we fed the multitude. Well, we started off feeding them. And what we do is we actually bust the sacks open, start pouring it into their baskets. And I'm talking, it's a heavy sack that they take home with them. It'll have all different type foods in it. And so when we got ready to leave, I could tell that the food was starting to go down. But we knew that God would supply. They quit feeding. We left very early, and they quit feeding at about, I think, 8 to 12 o'clock in that line at night. And they fed all the people until they come in, and finally it was gone. And the Lord said that two little pieces. See, she didn't know what her part really was. She just had 2 little pieces, didn't have much. But when she come up and dropped it in, and she raised that hand, thanking the Lord. Amen. He said, I'm going to do some mighty works through this lady right here.
Jesus.
Nobody knows her name.
Praise Jesus.
I don't even know where she's at, where she lives. I don't know any of that. I just know that God used that little lady's 2 mites to multiply that food.
Jesus.
Come on. Come on. He uses normal people in the supernatural to do supernatural things. Amen. You heard me talk about the lady with the cup of sugar. A cup of sugar. He used a natural thing to change a whole family. You getting anything? Amen. Now, from there, I want to take you to, I want to go back up, and I want to talk to you about being led by the Spirit, okay? In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? And I learned that you don't always have to understand what God says, but when you do what He says, that's what will produce. And I remember when I was teaching this class, a long time back, there was a girl that worked at our office, and I actually hired her. They came to go to Bible school. I found she had some talents that we needed in the church and the school, so we actually put her on staff. And she came in one day, and she said, Brother Joe, I'm believing for a husband. And I said, well, I'll definitely agree for you. And I said, let me pray with you. And so I got her hands, and the Lord said, just tell her something first. And so I said, the Lord wants to speak to you. And I said, here's what He's saying. He said, you go to your Bible, and you pick out every attribute that you want your husband to have, and you make a list. And you put that list in your Bible, and that's the man you'll have. That's God. Amen. What's He basing it on? The Word. Amen. So she did that. Did that. Put it in her Bible. And so, I don't know, maybe a year, I don't even know if it was that long, she come to me, and we were getting ready to have our annual Christmas party. All the staff comes, and they're allowed to bring their wives, if they have a wife, or if they don't, they can bring boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever they want to do, because it's a staff party. And she said, Brother Joe, I met him. And I said, you met him, huh? I said, good. She said, I'm going to bring him to the Christmas party. I want you to meet him, you know. And so, she takes and brings him in. I come in the door, you know, and I come up to shake his hand. And when I grabbed his hand, the God said, he is a fake. He will ruin her life. He is a fake and he will ruin her life. Now, she was a student in my live class. Amen. She was a student. So I didn't say a word. I didn't say nothing then, okay, right then. And I just told him, I'm glad to meet you. I was glad to meet him and know what he is.
Yeah.
What the Spirit was, not the man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, power, rulers of darkness of this world. Amen. But he was full of it. Full of it. She don't know it though. She's in love. She don't know it. Everything's great. You know, sometimes when you want it so bad, your senses in the spirit world, you put them down and you let the flesh world try to take over. And that's not how it works. So I went back to my office, and on Monday, everybody's back in staff. She's in there. And the Lord said, I want you to go in and tell her. I said, hey, Lord, I'm not going to go in and tell her. I said, she's a friend. I said, she takes care of our children. I said, I'm too close to her. Let somebody else tell her. She said, no, I want you to tell her. And I said, well, I wrestled with it because this was personal now, you know. And I knew her. You know, when you don't know somebody, I have no trouble going up and telling them what God says at all because I don't know them. But when I know them, it's like, and all these thoughts. Now, this is how the devil works. All these thoughts are coming in is she'll think that you don't want her to get married because now she can't take care of your children. All this kind of junk. And I said, that's a lie. So I'm battling with this. Well, it goes. And then what happens is I'm sitting in my office and I'll hear her get a phone call because she's right over here. And I'll hear her laughing. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's talking to this guy. He sends her flowers. He gives her chocolate. I don't even buy Joyce flowers all the time. And he gives her flowers and chocolate. See, the adversary will do whatever it takes to deceive you and pull you into the web. And so I said, Lord, I got to tell her. I said, but Lord, I'm having trouble with this. And he said, what did you do when she was looking for her husband? I said, I don't remember. He said, well, I'm going to bring it to your remembrance. I mean, you know, anything he said to you or you've said, he will bring it back to you. He said, what about her list? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had a list. She had a list. So I call her in my office. I said, where's your Bible? Bible's over at her office. Go get your Bible and bring it back. Bring it back. I said, I want you to open it up. I want you to find your list. She opened up. She got her list. I said, open it up. I said, does he meet every one of these? I'm not talking about all of them but one. Does he meet all of them? She never said a word. And I thought, oh, Lord, you just got in. You just made the deposit of the seed now. She's going to be working on her now. See, because God knows everything. Amen. And anytime you do, thus saith the Lord, there's a purpose and a reason. Always. Amen. She didn't say anything. She goes home. Another week goes by. Gets them phone calls, laughing, you know. Gets roses, gets candy and all that. And then she comes in one day. And she's got two big bruises on her where he beat her up, knocked her to the floor. And I said, oh yeah, there it is. But I got to tell you what I did before that. I went to her, called her in my office, said, will you hold my hands? Yep. I said, I'm going to call forth that demon. I said, I'm going to call forth that spirit that he really has. It will show itself to you. And I did, in Jesus' name. And he knocked her down. Knocked her down. She came in. I called her by name. I said, I want you to go visit your parents. You got a 2-week leave with pay. And I want you to go visit your family. And then you come back. And I said, and you're not to see him again. She said, I will never see him again. But he won't leave me alone. I said, you give me his phone number. The old police officer's trying to come back up. Okay. Oh, I hated to see people abuse each other. But hey, don't think it's just the husband and the wife. Don't think it's just the wife getting abused. I've seen guys beat up bad by their wives. Yeah. Amen. And so I called him and I said, young man, I met you at the Christmas party. And I said, the girl you was going with means a whole lot to me. And I said, if I ever see you around her or if I ever see you touch her, I will come look you up. I didn't tell him what I'd do. I don't think it would have been loving. I probably would have hit him and then asked forgiveness. And if it was really rough, I probably would have laid my hands on him for healing. No. It never got that far. Okay. So what am I saying? Not everything God tells you to do is comfortable. Not everything God tells you to do, you really want to do. But it always affects not only your life. Because listen, I want to take you back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 is all, the blessings are all based around the first two verses. If you hear what I'm saying today and you do it, my blessing, spirit, soul, and body will come upon you and overtake you. So if I had not have went to her, I would have been in disobedience, which affects my family.
That's right.
Come on. Now that's not why we do it, but it's right in the Word. All right? Well, she went home with her parents, came back. He never contacted her again. She called me. She came in one day and said, I've not heard from him at all, so everything's okay. And I said, I don't think you will. And I didn't tell her what happened. I just don't think you will. Don't think you'll hear from him. And then about 6 months, she said, I met the man. And I thought, oh my. Well, here we go. I said, I want you to bring him to my office today. And I'm going to shake his hand. Amen. So she brought him in. I shook his hand. God said, this is the one for her. But here's what she said first. She said, Brother Joe, the whole list, he meets the requirements on the whole list. See, one little thing of writing a list out and sticking it in. Now, that was her faith statement. She wrote that, I want a husband. Here's what I want. And she stuck it in there. But she could have got cheated. She could have got the imposter. But she had the list to go by. But you know, sometimes you override God's Word with what you want. Okay? That's called self. And that's the number one thing that all of us have to put down. You have to make the choices. Amen? Now, they married and they have preached the Word all over the world. All over the world. Amen? They spend probably as much time in Germany. They spend much time evangelizing Germany, all over the, I mean, Tanzania, Africa, all over the world. But see, God had a plan and the devil had a plan. The devil's plan with her was to ruin her life. God's was to give her a good life, the abundant life. Amen? That's why I'm saying. Now, I didn't really do that as her minister. I did that as her friend. And I think we have to look above what our callings are, is just letting Christ out in any way, in any place. Amen? Whatever you're doing, you know. And if you're always conscious of it, you know, because if you're sensitive and you get the flow of the Holy Spirit started. And that's why I started my music this morning. Oh, and praise and worship band, I'm telling you what, you put us in His presence. That's what makes it so easy to minister. And when you get in His presence, it's so easy to hear Him. Even if you hear one word, that's all you got to hear. I went in to preach sometimes when all I got was one word. But that one word, when I got up and started opening my mouth, He would fill me full of illustrations and full of the Word that was already in there over just one word. But that's not just for preaching on Sunday morning. It's not just for preaching. In other words, this is a lifestyle. You've got to be Christ-like. Amen? And listen to what your Father's saying. I'll use a couple more illustrations. One of my favorite scriptures too was, given it shall be given to you. Given it shall be given to you. Everybody relates that a lot with money, but it's not talking about that. It's love. It's anything. And before I was ever a minister, I was a banker, police officer and everything. We went to the church. And I'll never forget that it says, if you give, you'll receive. And I always knew the money part was, I could receive that, because at the bank, we press money down from a big amount to a real small amount, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give. I knew what the concept of that was, because I could take a lot of money and press it down almost into nothing. But it was a lot of currency. But I never acquainted it. And my pastor told me one time, he said, Joe, whatever you give, you get. If you give love, you'll get love. If you lay hands on the sick, you'll receive healing. Given, it'll be given. Now that might be a revelation to somebody right now. The more hands you lay on, the more it's coming back to you. So if you got a symptom in your body, Get those hands on somebody. Well, I was at a trade show, and I'd been over to pick a box up, and I could feel my back, really. I had a pain go across it, and it was almost unbearable. I got my stock all back in the car, going to church that night. And so I got in that church that night, you know, and I knew our pastor would have a healing line at the end. And so I'm going to go up. And so the pastor said, anybody that needs healing, I just want you to come up right now. And so I got ready. I started to get up. And the Lord said, you sit there. I said, no, Lord, my back's hurting. I'm ready to get in the healing line, get in the anointing. You just sit there. And so I sat there. And he started praying for people. And then right at the end, he said, now, I need somebody to come up because I've got a back problem. And the Lord said, given it shall be given. And I heard that so clearly. So I said, I'll pray with you. So I went up. When I laid my hands on him, all my back pain left. And God said, give and it shall be given to you. And I thought, oh man, I got a whole different dimension on this scripture, a revelation. Because everybody thinks about money, given it shall be given, but love. But you know, you do the opposite. You give hate, it's a principle, what's coming back. You understand what I'm saying? So then I thought, well, you know, Lord, I need to walk in more love. You know, so if you give love, you get it back. And so what I did, I went to my church. Now, I probably shouldn't have been doing this part, but I picked the most unlovely person in the church. And this lady, younger lady, sat right, she was hard to love. And the Lord said, you give her love. Give her love. So what I'd do is when she was going to come in, I would make sure that wherever she came in, I would run over and I'd say, I love you in the love of the Lord. What can I help you do? And, oh, she just cold shoulder. I mean, frown. She looked like an old toad frog. Okay? And I mean, it was hard. Every time I tried to love on her, she did not want it, you know. And so I'd go to the front door. She'd try to come through the side door. I'd run up to the side door. I love you in the love of the Lord. I'm praying for you. What can I do to help you? You know. Well, and she was the type that would, if you made a mistake, she let you know about it. I'm preaching one night, sharing the word. A pastor asked me to do a Wednesday night. So I said, now, brother such and such, he has an asphalt tooth. I meant abscess, but I said asphalt. Amen. Oh, she did not let me live that one down. So she's an unlovable girl. But God wants her loved. And so I kept on. But I started seeing little breaks in that old shell. I started seeing her really. She was liking this, you know. And you could tell it was nothing man, woman, nothing like that. This was love of the Lord. Amen. And so finally it got to where she would look for me if I didn't look for her. And so finally, I'll never forget this. I seen her break into really a beautiful person. And it was almost, the Lord showed me like a chicken that's inside that egg. And they just had to keep pecking and pecking until he finally broke through. And then it's a beautiful little chicken. And that's really kind of what it was with her. She was an unlovable person, but really within her, the God was a very lovable person. Well, we had a Christmas play. And so her husband comes in. And her husband, of course, her and the kids come up and greeted me and my wife, and we greeted them. And he come up and he said, I don't know what you've been doing, but my wife's changed. And he said, I think I need that Jesus you guys talk about. And I led him to the Lord right there. And the Lord said, Joe, anytime you give, you'll receive. If you give out, it always comes back. Remember, anything good you do, God knows the record. Amen. Never forget that, because it was something that the Lord had to lead me through. Because I didn't, being in police work on the night shift, really the only ones I cared about was my wife and my family. Okay, because I seen so much corruption out there and so much junk that it was hard. And when I finally got saved, the Lord said, you got to walk in love. And I thought, boy, how do you do this? And so, but you give and you get it back. And I'll never forget that to this day, she's a very good friend. I don't never use her name in these messages because I don't want to know she was ugly at first. Amen. Got another story. When me and Joyce had two children at the beginning, and of course they grew, and we didn't want any more children. You know, we decided that we've had two now. That's okay. And so we just, you know, every time we'd go somewhere, if we went in to eat, we'd try to get as far away from crowds as we could, where we could enjoy our meal. In other words, didn't want to be around children a lot. Okay, and everybody knew that. Now, we love children, but just didn't want to be around a lot of them when we were eating. Well, finally, we decided we were going to have two more. Now, everybody around us know us, you know, and we were now getting a little older. And so we decided that, and I said, Lord, I want two boys. I want two red-headed boys. And so this was before conception. Amen. I made my desire known. And so we conceived. So when everybody found out Joyce was pregnant, they started calling us Abraham and Sarah. And they couldn't believe that we're wanting children because of the way we were when we'd go into a restaurant to eat. And it kind of become a joke. But I had a really good friend in Montana, and she come up to me, and because I had gave the testimony that me and Joyce are believing, and we're going to believe for two boys, two redheaded boys. And so this girl comes up and she said, now, Brother Joe, I've heard from God. I said, you have? Yeah. I said, you know you're going to have a girl. I said, really? I said, I'm going to have a girl, huh? I said, but oh no, I've already made my petition before God. She said, well, you'd love a girl. I said, well, I'd love a girl, yeah, but I'm not going to have a girl. I'm going to have a boy, two redheaded boys. And she said, no, she said, I've heard from God. And I said, okay, here's what's going to happen. Whenever that baby's born, if it's a boy, if it's a girl, I'll say you were right. If it's a boy, I'm going to get the stones. I'm going to pick up some big stones. Come look you up, because, you know, when you get up a prophetic word, if it don't go forth, you stone them. You know? Well, when we went in the hospital, of course, James was the first one born, redheaded boy. Then Jonathan was born, redheaded boy. But I still call that girl every once in a while. I say, okay, I don't want to hear your prophecies. Amen. But we do it in a kidding way. Amen. When God tells you something, it'll happen. It doesn't matter in what field you're in. Whatever you're believing for today. Amen. I have a prayer cloth. Okay. And I want to give it to you. All right. And then I'll tell you the story on it. All right. That prayer cloth actually came out of Africa, that particular one. And I was in Montana getting ready for a meeting, and the Lord said, I want you to do prayer cloths tonight. I'd never done prayer cloths. So I knew it was in the scriptures in Acts. I knew Paul had aprons on him, and they made it into prayer cloths, and it took care of healing and demonic forces. Amen. I knew that. So I called the pastor's wife and I said, can you have me some prayer cloths? And I said, I'd like to have them cut 2-inch squares, you know, or something like that, you know, and a lot of them. Because I said, I looked at Paul and it said he wore them upon his body. So I put all these prayer cloths in my coat and in my pockets and everything. And when I preached, I wore them, just like he said he did. And then they distributed them out and they did what they were supposed to do. The prayer cloth has no power. It's a point of contact for God's power. Amen. So at the end of the service, I started calling some symptoms out. And then when they would come up, I'd just hand them that prayer cloth and tell them, you know, your face not in the prayer cloth, your face in God. This is a point of contact. So every time you see that prayer cloth, you're going to thank God for your healing. And I'll never forget one girl that came up. She had feet problems. And she came up and I said, what are you believing for? She said, I'm believing for healing on my foot. And so I said, here's a prayer cloth. She immediately took, now this is where God speaks to you and tells you what to do with it, the prayer cloth. She immediately took her shoe off, put it in the prayer cloth, put it in there, totally healed her feet. But she left that prayer cloth in her shoes. So she goes to work the next day, and she said, oh, my feet were healed in the service yesterday. And this lady next to her said, oh, you've always had feet problems. I said, yeah, but God healed them. Said, man, we did prayer cloths. I put that prayer cloth. Said it was just a point of contact for God to heal my feet. And my feet were healed. And that girl said, well, my feet hurt right now. And so that girl said, well, I remember him saying you can cut them up. It don't matter. Even a thread of it can do what God wants to do. And so that girl took her shoe off. She cut it in half. Give that lady half. That lady's feet was healed. But that lady wasn't saved. So that night they brought her to church and she got born again in spirit filled. Okay, now I'm getting to the one on you, what for you. Okay. So when I had the people, after I called out what God had told me, I didn't have anything more. I said, now God will speak to you about what the prayer cloth's for. And so everybody started coming up taking the prayer cloths and taking them with them. And one young man that came up, he was got to be a real good friend of mine after that, but didn't know him at that time. He took that prayer cloth home, and he was born again, spirit filled, turned on for the Lord, but his wife was not. And so what he did, he took the prayer cloth as a point of contact for her to be saved. You get it? You get it? Yeah. For her to be saved. Okay? He took and he knew that she carried her purse with her all time. She put it right by the bed at night. She carried it all time. So he got in the very bottom of her purse and put it where she couldn't find the prayer cloth. Amen. 3 days go by. Nighttime. She wakes him up screaming, sitting straight up in the bed and said, Jeff, I've got to have your Jesus. Got saved. Spirit filled. Now they've been together ever since. That prayer cloth is only a point of contact, but it activates your faith to believe for loved ones in. Now God will have to tell you where to put it. Amen. Amen. So when we went to Africa, Jeff was going to go with me. Jeff was going with me. Jeff and Shauna. Shauna was the wife. They've been in this church now, a key church that I preach in all the time. They've been there for years. And so I called Jeff and I said, Jeff, you and Shauna have 2,000 prayer cloths ready for Africa. Amen. But then when we get over there, I'll always take a part of them and I'll put them in a little bag, because then when I come and God says, you give that to such and such, then we do. Amen. Now this prayer cloth has been prayed for by Brother Jerry and myself. And you'll use it however he tells you to. You can cut it up if you need to. You can leave it whole. It's for the church. It's for your congregation. But it's mainly just a point of contact that Brother Jerry and myself have prayed over that. And it will do what it's called to do. Whatever you need. If it's finances, it'll do it. In the back of my billfold is a prayer cloth. My billfold never goes dry. Never goes dry. Not the prayer cloth has nothing to do with it. Yeah. Point of contact for God to do what He's called to do. Amen. 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 All right. Hallelujah. I've left you some good deposits since this week. Amen. I'm going to call them seeds because that's what they are. Mm-hmm. When we preach and when we tell you illustrations and give you scriptures, all we're doing is planting seed that you can grab hold of, and when you cultivate it, it will do the same thing, but much greater things for you. See, every time someone grabs hold of something and runs with it, it will produce. You got to find out, what did you get out of these meetings? Because whatever you got and you grab hold of, you can have.
Amen.
We preach the word. We give you illustrations. Some of them were just for some people in here. Okay? The prayer cloth was just for your need. Amen. God already had that set up before we ever came, or I wouldn't have had that prayer cloth. God already had that set up before I ever claimed. Now, when we prayed over this prayer cloth, we have a big long board of directors table. People had sent in prayer requests. That table was full of prayer requests. And me and Dr. Savelle actually read every one of the letters. And as we did, we put cloths all around. And as we read those letters and prayed over them, we would touch those cloths. So this prayer cloth was prayed for marriages. It was prayed for finances. It was prayed for sicknesses. It was prayed that children would come back. Anything you can imagine, that prayer cloth, as we prayed and laid hands on it, that anointing, that prayer cloth is a point of contact. It doesn't matter if you cut it into 100 pieces. Every piece still keeps that anointing. So that's for you, Pastor, and your church. I'll be giving Ron one for his church. I'll be giving Almond Tree one for their church. Amen. And I've already got Walter one for his billfold. Amen. It's a special one. Amen. What am I saying? So now what it's down to now is we've heard the word. Are we going to be doers of the word? Amen. Because when you hear the word, you got to do the word. And it won't start out some big old thing. It can be some little old bitty thing. Cup of sugar. Mm-hmm. A cookie to the neighbor. A tank of gas to somebody that needs gas. Somebody on the side of the road, and you just stop and say, can I help you? Maybe letting them use your phone. One more illustration, and then my part's done, okay? When I was in talking about the prayer cloths, I didn't have enough women to teach the women in Africa, so I had to do one of the sessions. And I taught on point of contact for God to work. And I told every one of the ladies, you are point of contacts. Every time you fix a lunch, God can work through that. Every time, and I used some illustrations. But I'll never forget, at the end of the service, a lady walked up and she handed me her kid's cell phone. And she said, would you pray over this as a prayer cloth? And I thought, I've never seen anything like it. She said, he has it at his ear all time. He's got it with him all time. And said, if it's just a point of contact, pray over this cell phone. She said, I want him saved and I want him serving God. And so I laid my hands. I agreed with her. She brought a prayer request up. We laid our hands on it. I said, Lord, every time that young man puts this to his ear, have somebody witness to him. You come to him in some way. How many know God will do what he says he'll do? Amen. And I'll never forget it that I didn't see her for a year. I usually go over twice a year, once a year for sure. Went back and I went in her little shop she had. She has a little curio shop. And she said, I want to introduce you to my son. And she said, he's born again. He's spirit filled and he works in the church. Beautiful smile on the kid. And I said, and you still have the same phone? And he said, I have the phone. Even when I get a new phone, I'll never get rid of this phone. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I want to pray over you now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be here today and you don't know Jesus. That's one of the starters of everything we've been talking about, is you have to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. It's a choice only you can make. Nobody can make it for you. If you're here today, you said, Joe, I haven't received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I need Him. I need Him now. I want you to raise your hand real, real high where I can see it. I see that hand. Real high. Anybody else? See that hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want everybody to stand up. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer. That person that raised the hand, you pray right along with us. You're getting ready to enter into the kingdom of God. You'll be one of the family. Everybody say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying for my sins.
For dying for my sins.
I receive you right now.
I receive you right now.
Into my heart.
Into my heart.
Never to be the same.
Never to be the same.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That you now are the Lord of my life. I receive you.
I thank you.
And I believe you are the Son of God.
You
raised it from the dead. And now you live within me.
I choose
to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Now every one of us, let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Give Him praise. It says all of heaven. 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 Now everybody be seated. Keep playing. I want to pray over the business people now. We prayed blessings, but I really have a special anointing where business people are, because I was one all my life, still am, but more ministering now than the businesses. But if you have a business, I just want you to stand up. If you have a business, amen. Father, I praise you. And as we blessed a while ago, every person in here, I'm praying a special blessing for the business people. You're going to bless their business. You're going to give them new ideas, new structures. You'll speak to them and you'll give them witty inventions. And their businesses will soar so much that people will come to them and say, "How are you doing this?" And you can tell them through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for every individual in Jesus' name right now. And I say you will prosper. Your businesses will grow. And God will lead you and guide you in new things. New things that will cause a whole new area to open up. And I want every one of you to say right now, "Lord, I receive it. I'll run with it. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep praising Him right now for a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray for this area. I pray for the Manitoba area and the Saskatchewan area, that prosperity comes to their land.
Yes.
Prosperity comes to their land.
Yes.
Prosperity comes to their land. Oh, shikabahati bohoti kabahati. Brosikine mahande de mahashi pikete. Tole mahala bohoti kapapate. Noko shikimana mahondi de bakapara bakate. Halaboni de bakati de boshi. Hilabala la bakote de bakota de bakate. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Every morning, this is for everyone, when you wake up, you thank the Lord. You thank the Lord. You thank the Lord. Some of you will see the healings among your family start taking place. The salvations will start taking place. Finances coming into the households will start taking places. Jobs that you do in the natural could not get, God will place you in those positions for His work. For His glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I see families that are totally tore up, and God's getting ready to bring them back together. I see marriages that are tore up. God's bringing them back together. The desire of your heart, God's working on your behalf right now. God's working on your behalf right now. You are overcomers. You're overcomers. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see an explosion, not only spiritually, but I see that explosion coming all over these rural areas. And we bind those plagues that are trying to be sent to rob the beauty of this country. And that worm is one of them, and we bind him right now. We bind him and tear him down. He's not allowed to operate anymore. We will not allow it in Jesus' name. God gave us this beauty. And devil, you're not taking it away in Jesus' name. And everybody say, "I agree." Jesus' name. Pastor, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. ahead and pray for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
God who finishes what he's begun.
Kalabashi pere bakote. Kei la basa pere bakote, la basi pere bakote.